Happy Mother's Day to everyone. First of all, I would like to express my deep appreciation to the pastor of this church and the elders for inviting me to speak to you on this very special occasion for mothers. You may recall that last year I had the same singular pleasure, and I did not conform to what I think the general view is in the Bahamas, that all of the sermons should be centered around mothers. You may consider this to be sacrilege, because I feel that I am certain that every congregation in the Bahamas will be speaking about mothers, and rightfully so. I, on the other hand, felt that since I am incapable of showing the love, the respect, the admiration that you all hold for your mothers and for mothers in general, I have decided to deal with an issue that Christians experience all the time, every day of the week, and that is how to live in a hostile world. Perhaps there is some validity to the view that many Christians feel that they could ignore the negative aspects inherent in hostility, because we believe that we could shield ourselves from the fallout by embracing all that is good, all that is wholesome, all that is pure, and thereby isolate ourselves from the vindictiveness of the hostile world. Let me shock you by saying that nothing could be further from the truth. Anton Chekhov, a Russian writer, said, "The world perishes not from bandits and fires, but from hatred, hostility, and petty squabbles." So what does it mean to live? The definition of the word includes a number of factors like dwelling, inhabiting, surviving, or simply existing. One of the most difficult challenges Christians face is living in the world, but not of the world. In this regard, Apostle Paul counsels in Romans 12:2, and I quote, "And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect will of God." The operative words in this paragraph are conformed and transformed. Many persons are still being persecuted because they chose to live a Christ-like life. Christians are being attacked on all sides by those who oppose them. Here in the Bahamas, we may take a somewhat blasé attitude because we are not plagued by the hostilities of terrorists like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and religious sects who consider Christianity as the number one enemy. Christians in many parts of the world are facing all manner of atrocities and barbaric behavior. There seems to be a revival of the Crusades, when no one was spared the ire of the law. In many parts of Africa today, Christians are suffering untold violent acts of extermination and genocide at the hands of their Muslim tyrants. I read a very interesting statement recently, and it said, "Men never do evil so completely as when they do it from religious conviction." The saving grace of all of these trials is that Christ sets the example of how we are to live in a hostile world. In verse 33 of John 16, he admonishes his disciples to be prepared to experience suffering. "These things I have spoken to you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It is doubtful that the disciples understood the oxymoron of the expression, "You will have tribulations, yet be of good cheer." It is hard for someone to be happy in the midst of suffering. The two concepts seem to be diametrically opposed. For example, I am constantly reminded of persons' reactions when I say to them, I am terribly well. How is this possible, they ask. Let me hasten to say that this reference is by no means being compared to Christ's teachings, even though we know that he oftentimes spoke in parables, paradoxes, and metaphors when he was teaching or preparing his disciples for his ignominious death on the cross and his triumphal resurrection from the grave. For this reason, we should not be surprised by the world's hostile reaction to Jesus' presence. We are aware that the chief priests and the rulers of the council plotted to kill him because he claimed to be God's son. Such blasphemy, they said. What they failed to understand is that Jesus was quite aware of the hostility and the threats to his life. He told his disciples that even one of them would eventually hand him over to the mob to be crucified. The good thing about all of this is Christ did not abdicate the world or his role or his responsibilities. Jesus' answer to the hostile world is exemplified through this selfless act of death, forgiveness, and redemption. The Apostle Paul, who suffered many forms of hostility for Christ's sake, spoke clearly of the benefits of persecution. In 2 Timothy, he said, "And indeed, all who desire to live godly lives to Jesus Christ will be persecuted." In the Old and New Testaments, there are numerous references of those who refuse to succumb to the hostility in their midst. Job, for example, is one of those who experienced the combination of joy and sorrow in suffering. I found an interesting paragraph in the analysis of John 16, the chapter read this morning, where the author said, "It is in Christ that we have peace in a troubled world. Far too much emphasis is placed upon the quality of our faith rather than in the infinite goodness and power of the object of our faith. And that faith is Jesus Christ. Glory could not be attained by any other means than suffering." St. Matthew's Gospel 5:12 recounts the Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." In John 16, the disciples were once again put to the test when Jesus told them of his departure. He comforted them by saying that his leaving would be for their blessing and encouragement and not for grief. "If I do not go away, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come." On a somewhat more emotional and mundane level, Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet has this famous line, "Parting is such sweet sorrow." In chapter 1 of James, of James's Gospel, there is further consolation. "Whenever, my brothers and sisters, you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance and all of the things that pertain to your spiritual life." What a blessed assurance. The hymn that we sang this morning, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," was written by Martin Luther, who also endured untold suffering for Christ's sake. It is based on Psalm 46, verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble." The third stanza in particular gives us the ammunition to combat hostility. and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. My friends, in a hostile world, we have to be aware that greatness comes from our dependence on God. In order for us to survive, we must have confidence in God and not in men. So dear brothers and sisters this morning, the question then remains, are we willing to suffer for Christ's sake? Amen.